I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Leftovers Podcast here. Derek Kramer, Frank Arcuri. We like to talk about some sports and other
stuff. I gotta apologize.
Why?
I have to apologize. I'm so sorry.
What did you do?
Because last week, when we were talking about the Sabres,
yeah,
we were talking about Eichel.
Yeah.
And I may have jinxed the injury.
Because I have the memory of a mouse, you might want to have to remind me.
We were talking about the Sabres.
Yes.
We were talking about Eichel. Talk about how good he was.
Yes.
How good he's being.
That doesn't...
How good at the hockey he's doing. But I had mentioned something. I don't remember exactly. I mentioned something about, and I did, knock on wood, an injury. And Saturday,
you know what you could have done?
He got hurt.
You could have covered your own butt by not saying anything there.
I feel bad. I had to let it out.
Well, then you're part of the problem, I guess.
I am part of the problem.
All right. Well, I guess we'll start there, right?
Yeah.
You know, the Sabres, despite an injury that might cost the rest of the season for Jack Eichel, the high ankle sprain, and no, it's not the same one. No, he's not injury prone. Shut up, guy on Facebook.
It's not injury prone.
Yeah. No,
he's not.
It's a freak injury. The way he got bent by that defenseman.
Yeah. Both of his injuries were just accidents.
It's hockey.
And it's hockey. It happens.
Players miss games and
players get hurt.
You want to stay careful with a high ankle sprain anyway.
Yeah.
You know, let's be real here. I mean,
last time when this happened last season, he missed 2 months.
Exactly. And seeing as how there's basically 2 months left in the season,
I would expect him to miss the rest of the year.
Yeah, I would as well. He was seen in crutches the first time that you know, it just, look.
4 to 6 weeks. It's
4 to 6 weeks. At the same time, you're terrible. You don't want to risk injury to your franchise player, re-aggravating or making it worse.
Yeah.
So, you know what? If they shut him down.
Yeah.
If they try to bring him back for weeks left of games, sure, why not? If Eichel goes to play the World Championships for the IIHF, for the United States.
I can see him doing that.
And rostering a better option than the Olympics.
Yeah. I can see once he is healthy playing in the World Championships, especially because it's a way to make sure your ankle's healthy.
Yes, and do you want to know what's... Okay, we'll get to that in a moment. We'll stick on the Sabres.
I can totally...
We will stick to the Sabres real quick, but I've got thoughts on world play.
Before you get to that, I can totally see... the Sabres wanting Eichel to come back, especially for like the last five games of the year, only because there's a really good chance that Mittelstadt will have been signed by then.
Mm.
So you can see if those two work together. And that's only if Jack is healthy enough to play.
All right. Yeah. No, that's not a bad idea. I don't hate that. I think you've said worse, apparently.
I have.
Look, strangely enough, though, despite the Eichel injury, the Sabres have beaten two of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, in the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Boston Bruins. And
they won that game.
Don't explain how, because good luck trying to get me out of that. They also scored 4 goals against the Avalanche in what turned out to be a 5-4 disaster, defensively at least. But at the same time, look. The Sabres are suddenly putting up points, and Jack Eichel's not there. That does not mean that you are allowed to say that the Sabres are better without him or that he is a problem in the locker room.
Yeah, no.
Because if you say that, A, you deserve to get slapped. B, you deserve to get slapped by the backhand of said slap. And then C, not that I'm promoting violence or injuring people, but come on, what are you thinking? If you ever think about texting that or tweeting that or posting that or saying it out loud, think about it before you say it. Don't do it.
You can't assume that when your best player goes down and all of a sudden your team starts scoring and winning, that your best player was the reason. Can't assume it. It's
Eichel doesn't play
it's
four
chance.
Lines. Eichel doesn't play four lines.
Yeah.
He's
not out there 60 minutes.
He's not out there 60 minutes. He's not part of the defensive pairings every night.
Yeah. He's not the goalie.
He's out there as a center, so he is a defensively responsible forward for one line for about 20 minutes per night.
But his job is to put the puck in the net.
Yeah.
Which he does very well.
Well, not to mention, he has gotten better with the back-checking thing and everything like
that.
But at the same time, defense is a five-man effort for 60 minutes, and Eichel is not out there for 60 minutes.
Yep.
The defensive woes on this team, well, come on, let's be real here. That Colorado game was just because Rasmus Ristolainen forgot how to play hockey, and it was good that he rebounded so quickly. Because that was a night that you wish you could forget. Being on the ice for all five goals, two of them being responsibly directly your fault.
Mm-hmm.
It was a rough night for 55, but at the same time, as you saw Ristolainen struggle, we started to see another name taking top line minutes that if you would have told me at the start of the season was going to happen, I would have said, yeah, right. Casey Nelson.
He's been playing very well.
Number eight. Is He's doing been, well for himself, and
I've enjoyed watching him play. And I think this was the year where I was hoping that he would begin to make a name for himself. And
lo and behold,
since his call out, he's been playing very well.
Now, a lot of people are saying, you know, Rochester's a good place to develop, everything like that. You want to be part of a winning locker room. So the question will every now and then rise up with Nelson. It's, do you send him back down? My answer right now is no.
Right answer. The answer is no because who's going to fill a spot?
Not just who's going to fill a spot, because, yes, there are injuries to Jake McCabe and Zach Bogosian, because that answer right now would be Josh Georges.
Yeah.
However, my biggest reason is he's not playing a reduced role.
Yeah, he's getting minutes.
It's not like he's playing third-line minutes on a pairing with Justin Falk. He is playing, and nothing against Justin Falk. He's a fine seventh defenseman.
Yep.
But if that's your role as a younger guy, you then put him back in the AHL to give him the primary minutes to atop along with Brendan Goulet.
Yep.
Goulet is not getting that call up right now, mostly because the Sabres have a guy filling that role of the top line minutes that wasn't expected to even happen. Casey Nelson has done this as a surprise, and honestly, I would just continue to let Gooley get all the minutes that he's eating in Rochester. You know, granted, without his top line pairing.
Yeah.
But if Nelson's doing the same thing alongside in Buffalo with Scandella here, there is no reason to send him down until the AHL playoffs start.
I'm 100% with you. So far in the last week, Nelson has been averaging 20 minutes. Time on ice.
And
21-47 against the Islanders, 20-14 against the Bruins, 19-17 against Colorado, and then he played 20 minutes last night.
And again, you look at that Tampa Bay game, and one of his biggest strengths was showing up all over again when he had four assists in seven games when he was originally signed as a college free agent.
Yeah.
He keeps his shot low, hard, it gets through traffic, and it's very tippable.
He's got very good hockey IQ.
A smart hockey player
yeah.
oftentimes can stick around in the league.
Yeah.
What kind of role he has, that's to be defined. But at the same time,
we'll have to see
he's
on that.
He's not been a problem defensively. He's holding his own, which
yeah.
you saw last year when he was called up. He was very overwhelmed in his own zone.
Yeah.
And he had to be sent back down.
Yeah.
Now that the team has an organization and a front office that actually gives a crap about Rochester.
And that knows what they're doing.
And knows how to try to properly develop players through the AHL.
Casey Nelson is one of those guys that shows what proper development and a winning culture in the AHL can do. What he can be.
For all of Tim Murray's biggest egregious errors, I think that's probably the worst, is that he neglected a development system.
Yeah.
many times you hear about players. Hell, the Darcy Regier era, you saw guys coming up from the AHL as a routine. The core of the Sabres for the two runs to the conference championships. You had Drury and Briere, yes, but at the same time, Derek Roy, Thomas Vanek, Jason Pominville, all coming up the AHL. Ryan Miller developing through the years in Rochester.
That lockout year ended up proving to be huge for the Sabres.
Yes,
because all their young guys got to play a whole year in the AHL together, and they were one of the best teams in the league. Rochester was, I believe, a top five team. Miller had 40 wins. I think Rochester lost in like the second round of the playoffs, but they had a great year.
And again, it was one of those things where you see that it's not just about having the winning culture in the AHL. It's about being able to properly develop the goods. Can you make sure these players get to the NHL level? If you are, yes, you're doing your job.
Yep.
Is it going to help you with your job security to get wins? Well, if one goes with the other, you're not going to have a problem staying in the league or staying in the organization or getting promoted to an NHL head coaching job. See Randy Cunningworth.
Yep.
You know, Cunningworth was a good developer with Rochester, got hired to be a head coach for Montreal. That didn't work because the French Canadian media hates non-French speaking people.
It's true.
It's a little strong and possibly accusatory, but I don't care. Look, you have to be able to develop, and Chris Taylor's doing a great job with that in Rochester. Jason Bottrell has set up a system for that to happen. Tim Murray did not have any of that. He didn't care. All he cared about was tanking for Eichel, which anyone could have done, and then overpaying and overspending to rebuild because he didn't care about being patient with proper development for his prospects. Nick Baptiste, we got to talk about him in a moment, but
yes.
Justin Bailey, I'm not sure what to think about him anymore.
The problem is he's hurt. He's been hurt this year.
I know, but like throughout the years at the same time, Bailey and Baptiste were
intertwined.
Yeah, they're intertwined.
They were together.
And,
you know,
the problem is they went through an AHL system that got torn down to garbage and support system for them.
Yeah.
We're seeing flashes here with Baptiste, and we've seen him with Bailey as well, where they know that they have the talent and that they can get it together. And it's just a shame to see these guys getting those two amongst many others in the prospects here getting wasted because Tim Murray decided to essentially
gut the AHL team. Yeah, to gut Rochester. A lot of with Bailey this year, though, he has been injured. But he did show some signs. He showed signs during training camp, during the season when he was playing. And then you go over to Baptiste, same thing, except the injury. He played almost every game for Rochester when he's not here. He's got points, and then he gets a call up to the Sabres, and he's scoring a couple goals. And if he keeps up the kind of play that he is, and that's just skate hard, be faster than the others, and get shots to the net, pucks will go in as long as you're shooting. If he keeps that up, you're going to see him as a permanent member of the Sabres on a third or fourth line. And he's a perfect player for that kind of role.
Yeah.
Look. In today's day and age, you want speed along the wings on all four lines. You got to be able to outskate your opponents. So how do you do that? More speed. Guys who are faster.
Yeah.
Anyone can score goals.
Look, I'm getting depressed about the whole Tim Murray thing. Screwing this team, setting him back years.
Thinking about it at Thinking about it from last episode.
Murray, you suck. Murray, you don't do anything of value.
we may have been a little too hard. Although he did, although I think
are we?
I
are
think we were. I think we were still right on what he did. But I think that we have to look. We have to look at too. A lot of trades he did make were good trades that he.
He got something for Mike Weber at the end of his career.
He got a third-round pick for Mike Weber.
He got something for Mike Weber at the end of his career.
Yeah.
He got something.
I mean, if you tell me now that Mike Weber was traded for a third-round pick, based on how Mike Weber's career was, I would have thought you were crazy.
I wouldn't have said that because early Mike Weber showed the promise of a guy who could be...
I'm saying based off his entire career.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He was a solid second-line pairing for a good majority of time.
I wouldn't say second. I would say he was at least a six.
Yeah.
The way he...
He ranged anywhere from a four to six.
Yeah, he's a low... He would have been... If he would have kept up the play from early in his career... So like 2011 to like 2013.
That's what I'm thinking of, like the whole thing.
He could have been a low end four.
Yeah.
But like, he was at least a six.
Yeah. But again, you're looking at a guy who if he did keep up that solid play was a second pairing guy at best. To get a third round pick for that, that's not really surprising. It was the current status of Mike Weber that they traded that should have been the surprise. Still, nothing will ever top Paul Gossett getting a first rounder.
Mm-hmm.
And Darcy Regier, I don't know what kind of voodoo magic he cast to make that deal happen. But hey, sometimes the market just works in funny ways. And for the Capitals, they wanted to be prepared for any injuries at the blue line. And that's what that was.
That's smart. And that's what you want to do.
But that's one of the rare trades where we saw that he didn't overpay for something. And you even saw, what was it, last year? He got nothing for several UFAs.
Yeah, because he couldn't trade him because no one wanted him. Because
he was asking for too much.
Yeah.
Because he paid too much for his stuff.
Paid Mark Pesek and two draft picks for Kulikov.
He didn't know what value was as a general manager. And it set the Sabres back. And you said possibly we were being too harsh. No, I don't think at all for a second.
I was also looking at the drafting that Murray did.
I'm also bitter. Because, damn it.
We're all bitter.
He made me want him to succeed because he was fun to listen to.
Yeah. We're all bitter with Murray. But
Happy Valentine's. Yes, I said it wrong on purpose.
We were talking about the drafting too. How minus Eichel and Reinhardt, you had nine games. Yeah,
it was 7-4 by Nylander, 3 by Gouley.
Yeah. But looking at it now, and looking at especially the 2016 draft, arguably was Murray's best draft. You can arguably say. You know, yes, Eichel 2015, Reinhardt 2014. I mean, after that, you have Gouley for Eichel's draft. But then after that, not much. Not much else. Bryson Martin was a 2014 third round pick, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to make of him. He's playing in Cincinnati right now in the ECHL. I don't know. I think at best he's probably he's going to be an AHLer. Will Borgen was 2015. He's playing at St. Cloud State. I believe this is his junior year. And I think the Sabres have until not this coming August, but next August to sign him. There's also, I was looking at just defensemen too. There's Vojtěch Budek, who I think was 2016 actually, who just played for the Czech Republic in the World Juniors. And then you had Bottrell drafted too, but I think in terms of defense, because I was really looking at the defensive pipeline. What is there for young players on defense. And then there's also Devontae Stevens, who I believe was 2015 as well.
Yes.
Who is signed but is playing in Cincinnati along with Bryson Martin. So I don't know what to make of him. We don't really know yet. But I mean, like, in terms of young defensemen signed, it's only really Gooley, Nelson, which is fine. But then after that, it's Martin and Stevens. There's Will nothing Morgan. Else. Will Borgen's not signed.
Oh, God.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Will Borgen is a guy who's not signed. Another guy, too, is Casey Fitzgerald, not signed. Wojtek Budik's a guy who's not signed. There's also Austin Osmanski.
Sabres fans here. Will have a... Oh, boy. Fans will have a another flip-out session if Borgen doesn't sign with the team, huh?
I don't think
so. An Olympic defenseman?
Yeah. He's. I don't know. I think the Sabres have until next year to sign him.
They do, but the problem that I'm having right now, and I'm already gripping with this possibility, is having to read tweet after tweet about how the Sabres should never draft another college player in their lives.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Now you understand where my mind has turned.
I know where your mind has turned.
Well, no, like...
The only thing, though, you said it just now,
you finally, like, it... Like,
I know
me saying
exactly
it was...
What
you knew what I was saying, but you finally visualized it. That was what that, was. You imagined reading those tweets.
But it all depends, too, because Borgen has to be worth signing. He has to be worth that 50-player contract.
I mean, let's be real.
He is making a case for himself by being on the Olympic team.
And
he's
also
making a big case
being
for himself.
Awesome in the college ranks.
I wish I could watch him more. I want to see more of him.
He's been playing very well. I mean, hell, you don't get an Olympic bid.
Just true.
In the pseudo...
He's doing something right.
In the pseudo-Olympics.
NHL
with,
players.
I'm calling them the pseudo-Olympics for hockey.
Mm-hmm.
All other Olympics, awesome. We'll get to that in a moment.
But he's doing something right. And that's good. And I would suspect Bottrell is gonna give him a call. You know, he's gonna see how his development is. He's gonna see how he's playing, see if he's ready for the pro game. And if he is, he'll offer him a contract. And if Borgen takes it, hey, there's a college player that is signed, and he'll be in Rochester next season.
Yes, and again,
and if he doesn't, he'll play another year in college.
And if he doesn't, I swear I'm going to have my head explode from all the tweets of, Sabres should never draft another college player again. Shut up!
Yeah, I hate that. I hate the logic about it. It's going to get talked about in the next CBA's meetings when the CBA's up.
Well, that's nice.
It's going to get talked about, and I...
You mean the next lockout, right?
Yes.
But on...
The next lockout, yeah. That's going to be one of the stipulations for owners for that. I mean, there are a lot of players who think it's dumb too.
Yes, you know you.
I mean,
you don't get to pick where you were drafted.
The thing we have to remember is one, VC never screwed over the Sabres.
No,
he screwed over Nashville. Imagine if he was on Nashville right now.
Okay, what about it? VC's not that special. He got overhyped.
He did.
Will Butcher, actually good.
Yep, he screwed over Colorado.
Colorado got messed. Now, could you imagine Colorado with Will Butcher?
Whoa.
There's your better one.
Yeah, that's a
better. I mean, imagining the Sabres with Cal Peterson, that's not looking any different. He would have been
Mark and Peterson at Rochester.
Well, one of them couldn't be there at that point then. One of them has to be on the big roster then, right? Having the two of them splitting time, it wouldn't have helped either of them.
You probably would have seen Peterson be the starter in Cincinnati in the ECHL.
Well, then if I'm Peterson, I made the right decision.
Well, he's not. I don't even think he's the starter in the AHL team for LA.
Because
The Kings, not only did they sign Cal Peterson, they signed Darcy Kemper, who's backing up Jonathan Quick, and Jeff Zachoff.
The Ontario Reign, right?
Yes.
All right. I'm getting things right here. By the way, not Ontario, Canada, if I was not mistaken here, right?
Yeah. Ontario, California.
There's an Ontario, California, which is...
There is.
First off...
Don't realize that.
That was very fun to learn when, you know, when Matt Molson was sent down. And
yeah,
you know,
it was.
Everyone's like, wait, why would he go all the way over there? Jack Campbell, the other goaltender for Ontario Reign.
Yeah.
So, no, Cal Peterson, by the way. Oh, wow, you guys are terrible with your stat page. Or Cal Peterson has never played a second for the Ontario Reign.
That
I don't know which is
be a thing.
No, I'm guessing it's this. Oh my God, Cal Peterson is yet to play for the Ontario Reign.
Is he really? Really? Who are the goalies that have played?
I don't know. I have to look.
I'm gonna go on the website too. We have to look at this.
By the way, this website is terrible. I just wanted to let you know that. Okay, Peterson has played. Their thing was
23 games.
23 games, 12-9. 2.63 goals against average, which is best on the team.
It's fine. 9-10 save percentage. That's fine. That's fine.
But at the same time,
it's nothing. It'll get better.
I'm gonna guess.
He'll be fine.
Hang on.
He'll be fine.
45 games. That's not all the games that have been played in the AHL right now. Only 45.
Some teams have probably played, 45 games. Some teams probably played like 50.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's like the same thing with the NHL. All
right.
Toronto's up to 50 games played, and the Panthers have played like 44.
Anyway, let's see. Major thing on this is that Cal Peterson's split time.
Yep.
And I think for Ullmark, he earned, based on his play within the organization, a shot at being the primary, like the guy for Rochester this year.
By the way, yeah, Ontario has played 45 games. The team with the most games played is the Hartford Wolfpack, who've played 52.
Okay, so they're a little behind. All right, but again,
it's about the same as what the NHL would be.
Well, also, you said something about Kemper, and I would imagine he probably got a couple games down in the A as well.
I think he's been up with the Kings all year because he's backing up Quick.
Yeah. I don't know. They've had goalie issues all year with injury.
Yeah.
So,
but Quick's been good, so it's fine.
Yeah.
But Peterson's fine. You know, yes, he screwed over the Sabres. Will Butcher screwed over Colorado. VC never screwed over the Sabres. Tim Murray traded a third-round pick
again
for his rights to try to convince him to not go to free agency.
And
we have to remember, Jimmy VC already made that decision to go to free agency.
And you said that we were possibly being too mean about Tim Murray.
I mean, he took a with VC, he took a chance.
Further emphasize my point.
He took a chance.
I mean, yes, that was a fine
and
risk
that's
to
fine.
Take, but at the same time, I mean, come on.
I'm also trying to mostly say too.
Couldn't his have been
draft. I think his drafting may have been a little better than what we were saying, but the good players that he drafted aren't here yet, and that's the thing.
Cliff Poo,
Rasmus Asplund, potentially Will Borgen. Potentially Vodek Butik.
All right, so that's four.
And
seeing as how Alex Nylander's struggles
have
continued in Rochester.
And that's what not this having...
This is why I didn't want to send Nylander to the World Juniors. He was kind of finding a groove down there.
Yeah.
And now he only has two goals still
since
returning. But again, I don't ever want a player to fail.
No.
And it's not these kids' faults where they get drafted or who gets drafted after them.
Mm-hmm.
But you knew that your defensive cupboard was empty.
Yeah.
Tim Murray.
Yep.
And you passed on Mikhail Sergachev.
That's what a lot of people have the problem with Nylander is, well, they could have had Sergachev. But it's not Nylander's fault.
He
was put in a bad situation right away.
Yeah.
As an 18-year-old.
Trashy AHL roster.
As an 18-year-old. We have to remember, 18. He was an 18-year-old. Now he's 19, about to turn 20, playing in his second AHL season, and he's barely done anything. That's not it. Some of it you can put on Nylander and his take up his play, but and how he prepares and everything. But at the same time, he was put in a bad situation right away.
Yes.
It would have been smarter if he played in the OHL last season as an 18-year-old, turning 19. because that was where he was drafted from. He's already had a year of experience playing in North America. He was drafted from the Mississauga Steelheads. He should have went back there and dominated like he did his draft year. And probably you could have done the same thing this year. Let him dominate. Players develop better when they're one in winning organizations, and two, they're dominating.
But furthermore, you need
especially
a proper
both. Yeah, but it's especially works when it's both. I look at a guy like Mitch Marner from the Leafs. He was drafted out of London, was dominating. Played one more year in the juniors in London. He dominated, and they won the Memorial Cup. He was a part of a winning organization. Makes the Leafs last season, 60-point rookie year, and he's having another really good year.
All right.
It helped. It boosts confidence, and when you boost confidence, it boosts development.
Yeah, and I hate to say the words look at Toronto, but Toronto did kind of do the development thing right.
I always say look at – and I hate to say it too, but that's why I've been saying, like, they've done it right.
I hate to say look at Toronto.
I don't want to say it too, but you got to – give them the golf claps when they've earned it.
Mm-hmm.
They've shown how you rebuild and how you can
don't
have
get
that
me
turnaround.
Wrong. They took that next step because they got lucky. They were a team that
They
were a team that wasn't that bad that managed to have everyone else be pretty much better. And
but you also
they
have
landed
to be lucky.
A number one. They landed the best odds at landing the top pick.
And you have to be lucky.
Sometimes you do.
Sometimes you have to be lucky.
And look at the
Devils.
Look at the Avalanche. Yep. The quick turnaround there. They were a team that was not that bad
as
they
were
roster,
never that bad last year.
But they played that bad. That's why there's hope for next year, Sabres fans, because this team on paper is not that bad.
Look at
the Avs.
Look at how awesome
they are without Nathan freaking MacKinnon in the lineup.
They're still playing well, yeah. And
we have the Nathan MacKinnon on our team. His name is Jack Eichel.
Yeah, and he's better than MacKinnon.
I'm not even gonna.
MacKinnon is sick. Yeah, he was having a former number one man. Hey, and you know what? He was having an MVP year.
Yeah, no, like MacKinnon.
Yeah, he's awesome.
If I get a direct comparison of Jack Eichel, Nathan MacKinnon, I'm cool.
I'm fine with that.
I'm cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, but main thing here is that, you know what? Damn it. I would have much rather have Jack Eichel been hurt overseas playing in the Olympics than have Team USA lose to Slovenia today. If this Eichel injury was going to happen anyway, I would have loved to see it on a line of Eichel, Matthews, and Trocheck. Okay.
Eichel, Matthews, Patrick Kane.
Sure, that one too. Eichel, Matthews, Goudreau. Yeah, there you go. I win.
Well, I mean, you could have Eichel, Matthews as your 1-2 centers.
Nah, you have a couple other centers.
Eichel, Goudreau, Kane. Matthews and Kessel.
Make every Toronto fan's head explode.
Wait.
I am
Matthews, in. Kessel, James Van Riemsdyk.
Oh. Oh. Now that would have been fun.
That's fun.
What would have been, Gary Bettman, if you decided not to, and your owners decide not to suck and refuse to think of good things for your teams and your sport? Look, I've had a problem with Gary Bettman for a long time here.
We all have.
Everyone has.
We all have.
If you haven't, that means you haven't been watching hockey long enough.
Mm-hmm.
Look, someone put out this like ridiculously hot take about Jack Eichel with it, like saying like, oh my God, this guy's a bust because we've had Pat LaFontaine, you know, put up much more crazy numbers. It's like, dude, that was different eras. But at the same time, that tweet, as silly as it was, it got me thinking about something else. Could you imagine if this game was like that? It was still loose and fast and fun. And teams averaged 5 goals a game. Teams averaged that.
Michael would have similar numbers to Pat LaFontaine.
He might have been crushing it.
be might even be crushing it. Yeah.
Now, my biggest thing though is we've seen a general decline since Bettman has taken over, and I know it's not all him. He merely works for the owners.
Yeah.
But when the owners are content with just making money and not improving the products that they can make more money, there's where you have your problem. As evil as Roger Goodell is, he's found ways to try to make it so that the league makes more money.
Yeah.
Is it risky and unpopular? Yes.
But you have to do it.
But
if you want to make the most money you can.
He made reaches. Were there flops? Absolutely. There is such a thing now called too much replay, and what is a catch?
Yep.
Hell, the NHL has already gotten to too much replay, and it's not nearly as fun. It's just all of the infuriating
parts.
What is
interference?
I just, again, but main thing here, going back to it, the Olympics. Team USA lost a game to Slovenia for the first time ever.
Yeah.
I'm watching the Olympics, but I can't watch Olympic hockey. I tried.
I didn't even watch a game because I was sleeping. The game's at 7 a.m. I tried. You know, if the NHL players were there, I'd get up at 7 a.m. to watch a game.
You know who else would? Everyone.
Exactly.
4 years ago, the Elmwood Village was packed. You and I were going to school at Buff State. A couple of the guys from Buff State, we would go down to watch a game down at one of the bars on Elmwood. We'd watch some hockey, some 7 a.m. hockey from Sochi.
Yep.
Why? Because we love hockey.
Yep.
And it's fun to watch when the best talent is there.
Yep. Absolutely.
And right now I'm seeing it on Twitter as well with a couple of the main people with Canadian media saying it would have been so fun to watch Tavares, McDavid, all these guys, Stamkos,
Crosby. Like, oh.
Again. It's a shame.
Bergeron, Marchand, yes.
Say what you want about him. He's actually good as a hockey player.
Oh, Erik Karlsson on Sweden.
Dude. Like, really? We could have been spoiled these Olympics. Like, remember the World Cup of Hockey? Think that, but just as good.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And on a bigger surface ice, too. Good God.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Will Borgen did not play in the game.
But look, the rest of the Olympics, stupid fun right now. I have something embarrassing I'm going to tell you.
What's that?
And everyone else, I guess.
What's that?
I watched figure skating.
What's wrong with that?
Other than the general connotation of that, I watched and I was like, oh, dang, this is actually pretty good. I don't know what it is about the Olympics that just makes you watch things that you never thought you could watch or would watch. I saw some dude.
It's because the Olympics
spin a girl like into like a doing a 900 just
by because of how marketable. It's because of the market advertising of the Olympics. It's when it's an Olympic year, even a year before the actual game starts. It's getting marketed. You're seeing promos for it.
And think about this. NHL owners, Gary Bettman. People are randomly watching curling, bobsled, luge, figure skating. You couldn't decide, hey, maybe we should put the best players in the... Put them in the Olympics! I hate you!
No. It's not that they couldn't decide to do it. It's that they took
it
out. No, it's that they took it out.
Because, look, I love hockey. You love hockey. People that listen to this station, they love hockey. But there are people that don't love hockey that would watch hockey because it's on.
Yeah, and you're seeing players play for the country.
And they're stupid good.
Yeah.
But no, we can watch Wednesday night rivalry between the Blue Jackets and the Bruins, I guess. I'm spitballing. I have no idea who it is this time.
Because they're rivals.
I'm looking this up. And Frank, you're going to have to play this game now. Look away from my computer.
Let's see. The games tonight are...
No, don't.
Okay.
You know what? Fine.
I was going the NHL games.
I'll play. Fine. I'll play. You name me the NHL games, and I have to guess which one's Wednesday night rivalry.
I'm going to start from the latest game.
Okay.
10 p.m.
Well, I know it's not going to be that.
Florida-Vancouver.
That would be a dang good one. The Jacob Markstrom trade.
Luongo. Okay. 9:30. Montreal-Colorado.
Not that one either.
One other game. Only three games tonight.
Oh.
7 p.m.
Wait. Don't. All right. I'm going to guess this.
Okay.
Boston.
No.
Okay. They're not playing. You know what? Give me one of the teams and I'll try to guess the rivalry.
Columbus.
Oh, my God.
Columbus is playing tonight.
Columbus is playing tonight.
They are on the road against.
Ready? It makes sense to say someone from the Metropolitan, but I'm going to guess, based on me hating NBC Sports Network's decisions on what they term rivalries, I'm going to guess it's not someone from the Metro. I'm going to say it's not Tampa. They already played two nights in a row. I'm going to say it's not Florida because they're already playing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it has to be someone from the Metro. This actually is going to make sense, isn't it? If it's someone from the West, I'm going to kill someone.
It's not someone from the West.
Okay, good. It's not. Okay. Can't be Boston. I think they already played two nights in a row.
And you already guessed them and then you knew you were wrong. Because that was the first guess. You had said Boston.
Okay.
I told you no.
All right. It's not going to be a Canadian team. So that takes out basically the Atlantic. So it actually is a team from the Metro.
No, it's not.
Who am I missing? Oh, God.
I'll give you a hint.
It's not even from their own division.
I'll give you a hint.
Learn what rivalries are, NBC Sports Network.
So how good is your memory?
Bad.
It was a team we talked about already.
What?
Go on.
Toronto?
Yeah, they're playing Toronto.
They actually, first off, good for you putting Austin Matthews on TV, you dinks. You know where he could have been on TV for your sports networks if the NHL wasn't stupid? The Olympics. Wow. Wow. Rivalry night. The night you love to hate. Yeah, I love to hate it because you people don't know what the word rivalry apparently means. So stupid.
Yeah.
So stupid. Good Lord. I meant watch that game, though.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. That's a potential, in all honesty, could be a potential playoff series. So
there it is, NHL. And you know who also loses in this? NBC. I mean, instead of being able to have a bunch of people watching NBC for its hockey coverage, which mm-hmm. you would actually be able to get a bunch of people to watch hockey in very saturated markets like Buffalo. You know, Philadelphia would probably make a nice killing out of it. Hell, I mean, the amount of American players that you're seeing on the Canadian teams, yeah, that's not going to help for NBC probably, but at the same time, dang it, it's going to be on. But also, you get the markets that don't normally watch hockey. It's on.
Yeah.
For hockey fans, it's appointment television if those guys are there across the pond. Well, no, that's the other one now. Would we still call it across the pond if it's across the Pacific Ocean?
I would say so.
Across the other pond.
Across the left pond.
Left pond. Yes, across the left pond. So, but my point being, for hockey fans, the Olympics are appointment television that you ruined.
Yeah.
Furthermore, you didn't give the people that aren't hockey fans a chance to appreciate the game and love hockey. Such a beautiful sport can sometimes be ruined by such a garbage league.
Yeah. By the way, NHL News... Vancouver has announced a contract extension with Jim Benning.
Maybe being a Sabres fan isn't that bad.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done laughing.
Okay.
This episode was draining. A lot of hockey talk for guy who is about the NFL draft.
That was the thing. Like when I was thinking of topics to talk about, the only stuff I could come up of was hockey stuff because we talked a lot of draft stuff last time.
By the way, flying,
and there's really nothing new.
By the way, Flying Tomato, Sean White.
Yes,
100th U.S. Winter Olympics gold medal was claimed because of the Flying Tomato, Sean White. First off, what a great nickname!
I'm gonna give him a clap.
The Flying Tomato.
Just clap. I'm just gonna clap.
But the dude is so dominant. And then Chloe Kim, 17-year-old snowboarding prodigy all of a sudden here. So we see Sean White, the original snowboarding prodigy.
Yeah.
And now we see Chloe Kim, 17 years old, gold medal for the Olympics there as well.
Yeah.
Ripping up the pipes. And again, this is what makes the Olympics so freaking cool.
Yeah.
And the NHL, again, decides to be so freaking stupid that... It's going to blow up my mind, man. I can't take it anymore. I think we need to end this episode before I start crying.
Well,
I'm already
I got one other topic.
I'm already dead inside. Happy Valentine's Day.
I got one other topic.
What do you got now?
Still hockey stuff, still Sabres, but you see the stuff with them and the Flyers.
Oh, yes, that's right. There's a trade deadline.
Yeah. Trade deadline's 12 days.
12 days away, and I already don't care.
You will care.
That is what this season has done.
You will care when you see the return for Kane.
You want to know what would have done anything for me? Watching Jack Eichel in the Olympics.
Yeah, I know. We know. Okay, I know. You know, but we've known that this was going to happen for a year now. So, whatever. But... You saw, but yeah, now you got the big rumors between the Flyers and Sabres, and it was just announced too, like yesterday, that Elliott's out for Philly.
Yes, that's right. Brian Elliott, 5 to 6 weeks.
So a lot of people are linking Leonard
however,
to Philly.
However, here's your problem with this: there were no Flyers scouts at the game against the Lightning. None.
That's true. I was surprised at that.
None.
I was surprised at that.
You know what?
However, I do remember that there was a report that both teams are scouting each other. So
wouldn't you need a guy to be there to scout it?
But this was also like last week. But yeah, it was. I found that funny that there were no Flyer scouts at the Sabres Lightning game last night. Could have been for a different reason. They were busy with other stuff, or they couldn't get into Buffalo, whatever, you know.
Look,
they had other assignments. They had probably had other assignments they had to do.
For the trade deadline, it's really going to be this, and I just hit my knee. I hope you all heard that. For the trade deadline, really for me, I'm just going to take whatever happens. I'm not going to try to speculate anymore. I'm not going to worry about what Evander Kane can fetch, what he does fetch, what other players on the saturated market also fetch. Rick Nash being thrown into the equation,
Ryan
suddenly
McDonough.
A problem.
Ryan McDonough, Michael.
Well, I'm talking about for the Sabres. You know, Rick Nash being there now is it's a problem because it's a cheaper rental for an older player at the same position. That's a problem. Toronto, knowing that their spot in the playoffs is very comfortably set, there's no team in the Atlantic that's going to take the 3 spot from them. And if they play well enough, they can possibly move it up.
They could get two. They could still win the division.
Exactly.
It's not.
But
it's wide open.
They know at minimum they're in the 3 and they're playing Boston or Tampa.
Yeah.
Which sucks for them. But again, NHL, fix your stuff.
But
they could toss James Van Riemsdyk into the trade market.
They're not going to. They've already said they're not going to trade him.
You say things, you know that,
it makes
right?
sense for them to not trade them.
You know in sports that people say things they sometimes take that back by doing what they said they would.
But I think in this case, it makes perfect sense for the Leafs to not trade JVR because they're going to need all of that depth when the playoffs come around.
You can make deals, though. I mean, like, you could swap for a guy. You could swap James Van Riemsdyk for a guy who's got a year left on his contract.
Yeah, but that makes no sense. Because JVR's a free agent, too.
No, I'm saying a year left on, like, an extra year on his contract.
Okay.
You know, like, throw JVR in a second.
Not rental.
Yeah, JVR in a second for a guy who still has an extra year on his contract.
But
parlaying
it,
but also showing that they can be a contender still for the playoffs.
I don't think that makes a lot of sense for Toronto.
It doesn't make sense for chemistry-wise, no.
No, not even chemistry-wise. They have guys coming up.
Mm.
That's why there's talks about trading James Van Riemsdyk, Tyler Bolzek, and Leo Komarov. Not just because those three guys are UFAs at the end of the year, but because those guys can be replaced by guys who are on the Marlies right now. There's a guy that Toronto has called Josh Levo, who has reported to request a trade from Toronto because he's not playing. Levo has literally played like 12 games this year and has been the healthy scratch every single other game. He's never been hurt, and his play has not been the reason why he's always been scratched. It's because, for some reason, Babcock doesn't want to play him. So he's talked as a potential trade. They got guys like Kasperi Kapanen coming up, Carl Grundstrom coming up, Miro Altonen who are both with the Marlies, Andreas Johnsson.
And that sound, by the way, that you're hearing when you're naming off all this promise that Toronto continues to have is everyone that's hearing this screaming.
Because Toronto drafted well. Yeah.
And developed well.
Exactly. But
should we just call that the infuriating end to an infuriating and ranting podcast?
I mean, that's just, sure. But like, that's just what the Leafs can do. They can, and it's smarter for them to keep a guy like JVR and Bolzek and Komarov for a playoff run.
Yeah.
Go for it. And then if it doesn't work, well, you could trade those three guys their rights to a team that wants to sign them and get at least something back.
I mean, Toronto has been, as good as they are, still pretty flawed.
Yeah. They're defensively, it's still not great. They've been bailed out by Frederik Andersen this year. A lot.
I mean, they're still a very up and down team with scoring and allowing a lot of goals. They're not the Islanders bad with it, but you know, they have their problems. And I don't know if it translates well to success in the playoffs.
It depends on Andersen. It all depends on the goalie.
I know, but
if he lets up even the slightest, that team goes downhill.
And they probably have the toughest matchup of anyone heading into the postseason.
Yeah, they're going to have to face either Boston or Tampa, probably on the road.
Yeah, and they're not yet. They're going to have four games on the road.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough match. That's a very tough matchup.
And that's the best case scenario, seeing a fourth game on the road.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Look, I don't want to feel bad for Toronto, but at this moment I feel bad for Toronto, and that's how bad the NHL's playoff system is. I'm ranting about the NHL. I need to stop. We need to end this, Frank.
Okay.
We need to end.
We're done.
Because I'm really just showing that I'm salty. Maybe it's because the United States lost to Slovenia.
Maybe.
A country the size of New Jersey.
Yeah.
And nothing against you guys. But the NHL is the reason you won.
They've only produced one NHL player, and he is very good.
Again, but the NHL is the reason you won.
Yeah. Yeah.
I should be interested in the fact that it's a more level playing field.
You know what would be funny? We're talking about Toronto probably playing, going on the road to play either Tampa or Boston. If the playoff system was like how it used to be, Tampa would still be number one. Washington would be number two as the division winner. Boston 3, Toronto 4. Toronto would be playing Pittsburgh in round one.
Ouch. Well, actually not as ouch.
It would be at home, though. It would be at home.
But not as ouch because Pittsburgh has kind of slipped a little this year.
But that's what it would be if it was the right playoff system. They'd be playing Pittsburgh.
Wait. Oh, hang on. I know what you're talking about now. But
because one would be Tampa, ready? Two would
imagine,
be...
Let's imagine a new playoff format here. You get your automatics for your division winners, one and two.
I think it should be the old way,
but
the
then,
way it was.
But then,
division winners are the highest seeds, and then it's the next best up until eight.
And that's all it would be.
Yeah.
You know, it's
which
simple.
Which means it would be Tampa 1, Washington 2, division winners, Boston 3, Toronto 4, Pittsburgh 5, Philly 6, New Jersey 7, Carolina 8.
Carolina's in the playoffs.
They are 1 point ahead of Columbus.
All right. Well,
that's what it would be. That was right. Tampa playing Carolina.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this hockey talk on the leftovers here today.
Because
get used to it. There's going to be more of it because trade deadlines.
You're going to have a lot of new trade deadline stuff coming up next week.
Up.
And then
we might have our
next week's going to be the next week will be the last episode until the deadline. The next one after that would be post-trade deadline, so we can review all the trades that happen.
I'm just making sure of something real quick, though, so that we know that it's not all about the trade deadline, and it is all going to be about the trade deadline.
Yeah, because scouting combine.
Combine still is not until the end of the month.
Yeah.
Through the first week of March. So that one is when we're going to get back into football, because that is my jam.
Yeah, we'll definitely be talking about that.
And I will talk about which combine.
We might have to do a lot of talking, a lot of different stuff.
Well,
I'm ready for it.
Yeah, I'm ready to talk. I'm okay with talking.
We'll do it.
And if you find my voice not to be annoying, well, thanks for listening.
Same here.
I'm Derek Kramer.
I'm Frank R. Curry.
This has been The Leftovers. Peace out.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.